whatever happened to that booger guy from Revenge of the Nerds? I want to know. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Film Sack. This is the show where we dig deep, deep, deep and hard. That sounds terrible. Into the abyss that is weird films, old films, new films, and strange, really bad films. Mostly from Netflix, sometimes from other places. We bring it out here to sort of roast it on a stick and share it with you, the listening audience. Welcome to Film Sack, episode 4. I am Scott Johnson. Joining me is Randy Jordan.
Oh, that's right. That would be me.
That's your cue.
I am, even though Arnold Schwarzenegger could easily hold me in one hand, I'm suspended from a visible wire in the trees.
Oh, good. Also joining us is Brian Dunaway.
Hi, Scott.
You don't have
please.
A thing again, do you?
What?
You're supposed to have a little thing like...
I was about to say
oh,
it.
Go ahead and cut you off.
But you were part of it. I was going to say, hi, Scott, please, will you protect me? I'm so frightened. If you had to let me finish.
Sorry, I made an assumption.
Do you need to start over?
No, we're
Scott?
Going.
Because,
we're moving. This is it.
Your co-hosts are just muffing every play.
No. We love this. Now, I can't wait to hear the third one. So, also joining us, of course, is Brian Ibbett, otherwise known as Bibbit. No, Ibbett.
I'm ready. I'm sitting here with my big fake spider, my Diamond Vision TV, and nice. My chemistry lab.
Good. See?
That was
That's
good.
What I'm talking about. Very nice work.
That was good.
Let's tell people what we're here about this week. Of course, this is Film Sack, and we do nothing but jump right to the point, which is our movie of the week, and that movie is Red Sonja, a sequel of sorts to Conan the Barbarian. Let's let Scott Fletcher say it the best.
Red Sonja. After her family is brutally murdered, a young woman named Sonja, played by Brigitte Nielsen, sees red and becomes a master of the sword, all to seek revenge on the evil queen responsible for the tragedy that snuffed out her kin. Directed by Richard Fleischer, the film co-stars Arnold Schwarzenegger in one of his earliest roles and features Sandahl Bergman as the evil queen.
Yeah, Sandahl Bergman. We've seen her before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Fletcher.
We saw her recently, didn't we?
I don't know. Did we? She been in something else? I have no idea.
Yeah, she's been in several things. She was actually in Conan the Barbarian as the love interest.
Evil Queen? Oh.
No, she was actually the love interest, the first love scene Arnold Schwarzenegger ever had.
Really? And yeah. Did she expose her chest area?
Nipple area? I believe so.
Because that movie had a lot more of that than this movie did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this only had one scene. It was the campy, silly, yeah. Oops, I had on the porn channel last when the guy with the chemistry set.
I have now found a new worst, I'm trying to not curse too much here, worst reason for a movie to be R-rated ever. This is it.
Yeah.
This movie shouldn't
never
have been R.
But I'm just saying, there's never been a moment when a film went from basically PG, not even PG-13, yeah. but yeah. PG, to R for no better reason than this
and
film.
The bad thing, and the worst thing about it is I couldn't really tell if it was a guy or a girl dancing.
I wasn't sure either, dude. I wasn't sure either. I sat there going, I don't know whether I should be offended or laugh or think this is really compelling or attractive. I don't know what this is. But yeah. but you said
wait,
it well,
this
Brian.
Just in. Hold yeah. on. Nope. This film was re-rated PG-13 by the MPAA.
Oh yeah, yeah. They finally must have realized it was a man.
They thought it was a dude. The MPAA thought it was a dude. That makes sense to me. All right, let's jump into plot summary of Red Sonja. Red Sonja basically is some chick very randomly portrayed in the very early goings of the movie, played by Brigitte Nielsen. Whose family was destroyed by some evil queen. Scott Fletcher said all that pretty well. Basically gets visited by a sort of lady Obi-Wan Kenobi ghost kind of chick.
Yeah, it was weird.
Comes out and goes just those, oh, Sonja, don't worry, freaking blah. And I have a clip of that here in a minute. We'll play it in a second.
Okay,
but
good.
You jump ahead a little bit. There's like a big bunch of priestesses that all are supposedly the protectors of this green orb that they call the Talisman.
Correct. Is correct.
But I don't say it as good as Arnold does, and you'll hear that in a clip later as well. Anyway, they control this weird ball of power that supposedly created the world. Now they need to destroy it because it will now destroy the world. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't need to, but that's kind of the setup. In the meantime, Red Sonja has been training with a stereotyped old Asian teacher man, And
they're really big.
Doesn't everyone have an old Asian teacher, man?
Yeah, they do. That's what I'm saying. Like every movie, if you're going to have anybody be trained to do anything, the Mr. Miyagi archetype is there. This one just happened to have like.
Oh, no, I'm saying in real life. Don't you have an old Asian teacher, man?
Oh, I'd love
one. I've got one.
I have an idiot Asian brother. Does that count?
I've been waxing a stupid car for years. I've still waited to learn something.
There's two big circles on the hood.
Yeah.
That's great. So there's that guy, and he's wearing this like scaffolding. It's the weirdest outfit I've ever seen.
It is huge. Yeah. It is huge.
Crazy. Yeah. But I guess it makes
not
it more.
Not something you don't want to fight in.
Yeah, yeah. It makes it more interesting. It's actually some of my favorite parts of the movie were choices in wardrobe and design. Arnold comes across the dying sister by accident. This happens very deep into the movie, actually. Arnold does not play a huge role in this movie. Basically plays the role of Scott Fletcher said it well in an email to me. He was kind of in his sexist phase. So everything was like this weird leer, and you just you just know that he's, you know, getting it on with what's her name later or whatever.
But
So Arnold comes across this dying sister, and she was one of these priestesses that were controlling this ball.
Well, we find out later on didn't just happen to come across her. He explains.
Yeah, he was coming there anyway, it turns out.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll hear that in a clip as well. But anyway, sees his sister, decides to do her dying wish and go get the Sonya chick, because the Sonya chick is her sister, and that's the deal there. Her dying wish isn't to make out with Arnold in the middle of the
night. I was wondering.
So you
follow so long after you said that. So
yeah, so he brings Sonya back. They have a moment together, and she is now sworn to find and destroy the ball. The ball only chicks can touch.
Green ball.
The green ball of chick touching. So this is this is basically the film. That is what happens. A little trivia to get out of the way up early here. The director, Richard Fleischer, did 1970s Tora, 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 Amityville 3D.
I thought it was a guy who did Popeye. Okay.
No. That was...
That's Altman, Robert Altman.
Robert Altman, yeah. That's right. Soylent Green.
I was stuck at Flashman,
Soylent Green, the jazz singer. You know, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, the guy actually had some stuff under his belt.
Yeah.
And the first Conan, so Conan the Barbarian was his.
Yep.
And is the son, this is mostly of interest to anyone who's into animation, old animation, he was the son of Max Fleischer, the famous animator.
That's where I was trying to get to. I said Max Fleischer,
And I love all that old Fleischer stuff. So, by this time, Arnold had already done Terminator, Star Wars, or his star was on the rise. He was not in Star Wars. Don't get that
confused. Had he done Terminator by this point?
Yeah, he'd done Terminator 1 the year before, 84. And in 85, he did this. And here's what happened right after that. Commando, Raw Deal, Predator, Running Man, Red Heat,
Excellent.
Twins.
Twins, yeah.
An episode of Tales from the Crypt. Total Recall, Kindergarten Cop, and then Terminator 2 Judgment Day. It pretty much is the span of the rise of Schwarzenegger to be a major movie star. And then I think around Terminator 2, it started to shift a little. I mean, he did like a Christmas movie with Sinbad or something, and then kind of went to crap after that.
Yeah.
But I was a big fan.
Last Action Hero. That was like near the end there, Last Action Hero. Yeah. And, which I didn't think was that bad. I just think people were sick of those kind of movies.
I think it was that bad. I think it was terrible. No? That may end up being a movie on here, actually. We'll have to see.
It might be.
Bridget Nielsen after this. Here's what she did. Rocky IV.
Rocky IV.
So that's when she met Stallone.
Then she did Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
In that order.
And then she did Cobra, which had Sylvester Stallone in it, in 86. In 87, she did Beverly Hills Cop 2. That, my friends, marks the peak of her career.
Yep,
because
that was it.
Everything after that, utter total poop.
Everything after that was Flavor Flav.
Pretty much. But that's kind of the breakdown. And by the way, that represents my new effort on the show early on, is to establish the timeline. Yeah, where all these people came from.
And their portfolio.
Sure, their entire resume. That's my goal there. So before we get into some clips, I just want to kind of go around the table and ask, you know, is this your first taste of Red Sonja? Randy, first time you ever saw it, or is this a repeat viewing for you?
It may as well be. I'm certain that I saw it multiple times in the 80s, but I watched this with fresh eyes. It was like I'd never seen it before. I didn't remember a thing. I realize now that I had long confused the little kid Ernie Reyes Jr. character with a bunch of other characters in other movies.
Like Short Round?
Exactly. He... he was a staple, and I don't mean the actor, although he had a few roles like this, but the
on time for love, Schwarzenegger.
Right. There was a character that was in a lot of movies, and I didn't realize how much of his sort of shtick I had still in my brain. But yeah. Everything else in the movie was real fresh for me because I haven't seen it since I was a little kid.
Yeah, that was me going into this. I've seen it before too, I'm sure of it, but I don't remember anything. And it was as if I was watching it over again. This happened in Krull for me too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very similar viewing experience. Brian Dunaway, did you how much Red Sonja had you eaten before you got here?
I had probably seen it several times on network TV during the 80s. And this, I do remember some things about it. I remember thinking wrongly, apparently, that it was actually Arnold was Conan in this movie, but he wasn't. And I went into that thinking, oh, how cool, we're going to get to watch another Conan movie, because, I watched one recently.
Well, let's clear that up, because he isn't playing Conan, he plays this other dude.
He's a character that is very close to Conan.
So why did they do that? That seems really, really dumb to me, because in the comic books and the books that this is all based on, Red Sonja and Conan fought alongside all the time.
Yeah.
So what was the problem here? That's weird to me that he wasn't.
I thought that was weird too.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense to me either. When I was watching, I was like, what? He's not. Let me rewind that.
Well, that explains the red pajamas and not the shirtless,
physique. Absolutely.
Thing. Okay. Interesting. So, Ibbot, your experience with this movie prior to seeing it again?
You know, this was the first time I saw this movie, and if someone were to ask me tomorrow if I've seen this movie, I wouldn't admit it.
You would deny it.
But I did read the comic book. Not regularly, but I was, I'd pick up the occasional issue of Red Sonja.
Yeah.
Like in the 90s and the 80s and 90s.
One last bit of trivia. They are making a new Red Sonja movie. It stars Rose McGowan, most famous from Planet Terror and other things.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yes, yep. Way.
And, you did not know Marilyn Manson's ex-girlfriend.
I will bet money that Rose McGowan doesn't start in a Red Sonja remake.
It's already being filmed. It's already happening. It's going.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
No, the one caveat is she has to have a machine gun for a leg, and that was the only way she would do it.
Yeah. Right.
She's almost as far away from this character as you can get. And I mean, and I'm not just saying because she doesn't have red hair, which she doesn't.
No,
she doesn't. I mean, nor a mullet.
Right.
Yeah, but you can fake it. Brigitte Nielsen didn't have red hair, and she pulled it off somehow.
Now, the character needs to be voluptuous and, almost, what's the word, Zaftig? Is that the...
There's only a few people that know if Red Sonja really has really red-headed.
That's
Flavor Flav, Sly Stallone, and...
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And Randy.
Yeah.
She's basically a Planet Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's true, actually. Bruce Willis is the only guy she hasn't rolled in the hay with. All right, well, let's get into the movie proper. By the way, Brigitte Nielsen in this, back in the day, kind of a hottie, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Man, big, tall, Scandinavian woman. Woo.
I want to be the first to say she is so hot in this time frame before she went and mounted these two huge globes, her golden globes on her chest. Like, I don't understand why she would ever have done that.
Yeah, I don't know either. She was very naturally, had a real natural beauty to her. And you could tell this was a stage in her life where she hadn't gotten to that whole let's plastic everything up and look fake in Hollywood stage. She looked really, really great. And she seemed, I mean, you can't tell from movies. For all I know, behind the scenes, she was like smacking midgets and peeing on the wall. I don't know. But she seemed like she would have been a very affable person to work with, a terrible actress, but, very pretty, easy on the eyes. As a kid, I totally bought it, and I remember thinking, oh, she is so freaking hot. My friends and I were just couldn't wait to see this movie. But seeing it now and seeing her now, and she's, she's in her, I think, late 40s, maybe early 50s.
Yeah.
Oh, she's got to be earlier. Yeah, I mean,
something like that. 50s. Born in 64, it says. So what is that?
Mid-40s, actually.
Yeah, that'll be mid-40s.
Yeah, mid-40s. That's why I told you before, she looks horrible.
Yeah, she's
for
a train wreck now. I know. It's really too bad.
Well, she doesn't look like that anymore because she actually did a reality show recently, and they did a whole makeover thing on her. So I don't know how
I don't think she's a train wreck now. I feel like at some point her chest decided to go hot air ballooning, and she should have said no.
She should have turned him down. She should have said no to that nip and tuck. So, all right. Well, moving on. Let's talk about the movie. Let's play a couple of clips. I love the clips from these movies. First one is the Obi-Wan moment from the first part of the movie. Kind of sets things up and kind of gives you an idea of what she's been through. Here it is.
Yeah. Sonia. Sonia. You are suffering, Sonia. But vengeance shall be yours. Vengeance on Queen Gedrin, who wanted you for herself. Your disgust was clear. And so it was that Gedrin ordered your family murdered, your body violated by her soldiers. But in your quest for justice and vengeance, you will need great strength. For your sword arm must have no equal. I give you that strength.
You got to keep your sword arm strong.
Yeah. 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 So
I don't get about that is the fact why in the first, 2 minutes of that Sonia ghost thing going on there, why she felt the need to, tell Sonia what she already knows. You were disgusted. Like, yeah, I was disgusted. They killed your family. Yes, I know. You're telling me stuff I already know.
All they needed for that scene was previously on Red Sonja.
Yeah.
Brian, you had sausage for lunch. Yeah. You took a dump.
How did you're going to have trouble later, Brian. You shouldn't have eaten that. Yeah, do this in every movie though? There's always a point where they're like, "All right, we got to make up for a bunch of time nobody's seen here. We got to this is why Red Sonja is who she is, and we don't have 3 hours to make this movie, nor do we have the budget. So we're going to make it very clear up front and very sort of obvious on the table ways that her family was killed, she was raped by these guys, she has this really pent up anger now, she's totally mad, her bra's falling out, and she's talking to the ghost with her boobie hanging out. She had all these problems."
That ghost was it wasn't even it was a blob. It wasn't even a shapely blob. It was just weird looking.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It sounded like a chick, but yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and invent the theorem, and we can, over the next several weeks and several months of doing this show, we'll be able to see if it comes true. But I think the longer the narration at the beginning of the movie, the worse the movie is going to be.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. Yeah. Here's
my question.
Yeah.
I want to know if filmmakers only figured out how to tell backstories quickly after 1985. Like, if you think back just a year or two, the Louis Leterrier Incredible Hulk film, the Ed Norton film.
They tell
a whole movie's worth of backstory in 3.5 minutes at the beginning of that film through imagery over credits, and it's beautiful. And you get the story. There's nothing campy about it. It really gives you everything you could need. And it's, like I said, it's a whole movie's worth. These movies we've been watching lately, they tell you a few lines, and you feel like it takes an hour.
Yeah, and I feel like the pinnacle of what you just described, and I would agree that we've as a film industry, the industry has gotten so much better at this, and creative people have, but the pinnacle of that for me was Watchmen. I love the way that opening credit sequence set that up. And I don't think you needed to be a fan of the comic to get it. It just perfectly kind of said, look, in a very stylized way, this is all that has come before. This is meaty and deep. We don't have to over-explain it with a voiceover. You don't have to have Harrison Ford in Blade Runner going, "It was a cold night, dark day that day." You know what I mean? Like, it's as if there was some leftover film noir garbage that was still in the system, and this movie was one of them that said, you know what, we need to have a lot of exposition before we do anything else.
The now, audience is stupid.
That was
according
pretty much
to... the Internet Movie Database, they say that the original theatrical trailer of this movie contains cutting room floor footage of scenes glimpsed only briefly in the film's prologue. So there apparently was a lot more movie. They used it for the trailer, and then they used snippets for the flashback.
Well, the father and the mother and all these other characters that never show up again, they're all credited in the credits. So it's like, nice. Sonia's mother. I'm like, who the hell was she? I never saw this woman. But apparently I saw her for like a second while her head was being cut off or whatever.
Right.
What is up with movies of this time period?
Dude,
with head cutting off. I mean, constantly with the head cutting off.
Yeah, but then we're not even to that next, the freaking Bruce Campbell movie we got lined up next. Oh, those are some of the best beheadings of all time.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
We don't want to talk about that yet. Good example of the way people talk too much in movies and give too much exposition. And not only that, the way that they talk, like the kind of condescending, we are holier than thou sort of mythical creature people talking stuff happens in all movies, and this is no exception. Here's a great clip of that.
Varna, where is the Lord of Hyrcania?
He has not come, Highness.
He should be here for the destruction of the talisman. But we cannot delay. We will proceed without him.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. And I make it a rule, any movie I watch where the word Highness is being used, I make it a rule to interchange that with the word anus. Your anus, the guards have come to the door. What shall we do, your anus? Anyway, so that was, of course, the priestesses getting ready to do their thing, and they make mention there of this Lord of Eternia or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And we learn later that it's actually, it's Conan, or Conan's not the twin brother who we never knew about.
Jonan.
Jonan the barbiturate. Anyway, so that's how that all goes down. Now, I want to quickly get to this next part because this, to me, is the most important. This place is besieged, and these guys with way too big... Once again, a movie from the 80s where they're trying to be all fantastical, where the armor would make you completely irrelevant in a fight, yet they're all wearing it anyway. They come and they fight all these hot chicks in, like, white robes. Every one of those women was like Amazon freaking Wonder Woman hot Bettys.
Yeah.
And they all getting stabbed and having really bad blister pack effect, you know, blood happening with swords and stuff. And this is when you find out that only women can touch the talisman.
Touch it. So it is true. Only women may touch it.
That's right. Only women
that's
may touch
it.
That's
what she said.
I knew you had to get that clip. I just knew it. I was like, oh, you Scott doesn't get that clip. I mean,
now, not to spoil anything,
right here in my notes.
Not to spoil anything, and I know there are a lot of listeners who have already seen the movie in preparation for this episode, but didn't it turn out that she was a dude? Like, wasn't that the whole point at the end that the queen was a dude under all that?
No,
well, she
no,
was
she
magical.
Was just,
she was just like a witch, so it didn't really. I guess if she wanted to look like a dude, she could.
So she had taken whatever form she wanted, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
All right. Because in my mind, I was thinking, because they make these weird mentions at the end, like, she was actually a man or something. And I was like,
she was a man, dude.
But then my brain started trying to make sense of this, going, but she touched the ball, and only girls can touch the ball.
I know it.
All right.
Stuff like
I'm just
that,
making sure I'm not losing it, because maybe I am losing it. Some more awesome death dialogue. This is when the sister is dying in front of Arnold. And Arnie doesn't actually say anything yet. His whole first scene is silent. And I kept thinking, this is going to be like that weird movie he was in where he had his whole voice dubbed over with an American guy.
That was so funny. Yeah.
What is that movie called? That's got to be on our list at some point. I don't know.
What's
name.
That movie?
But it was like, you'd see Arnold come around a corner going, well, hello, I am here to see the thing. And his mouth's not moving right. It's great. Anyway, this is where the sister dies, and I just love deaths like this. They don't make him this way anymore.
The talisman stolen. Must destroy the talisman. We must find my sister. Take me. I know where she is. Please.
Okay, the best part of that is when you take conjunctions out of your sentences. That means you're really dying.
Mustn't use prepositions.
Wait, conjunctions. Hold on. I'm thinking back to school, my Schoolhouse Rock days. Hold on. Conjunction, junction, what's your
That's,
function?
If and, but, or. Yeah,
oh, that,
those
no, that works. So they take those out.
That's good.
All right. Prepositions, conjunctions.
Also pronouns. You have to leave all pronouns out of those sentences.
Exactly. I loved her dying. I just love it because they don't do that anymore. Even in bad movies today, they don't die that way.
No.
And I love it.
And not enough people die and close their eyes anymore. You know, they do it much more realistically.
She was kind of hot too. I won't lie. I thought all the females cast in this movie very pretty, mm-hmm. except for the queen. I thought she did look like kind of like a dude.
Really?
Yeah. Or a lot like Roseanne's sister from that Roseanne show that was on a long time ago.
Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah, Laurie Metcalf. And I'm sad that you know her name. By the way, that's weird.
Yeah.
But I got it.
Well,
I got an email
over here.
I got an email from Scott
she's
Fletcher
here right now.
Scott Fletcher sent me an email and said, "Dude, was that the sister from Roseanne?" And I thought, "Oh my gosh,
yeah,
our brains are on the same wavelength." By the way, I just should mention that Scott Fletcher watches all these movies as well. We are destroying his soul because not only is he watching these horrible things, but then he's recording voiceover work for it. I mean, it's going to eat him alive. But I can't wait to hear what he does next. All right.
By the way,
yeah. Go
by
ahead.
The way, the film you were referring to, where Arnie's voice was dubbed the entire thing, was the Hercules in New York film.
Oh, that's it. Yep.
Which I hope we watch it just because the credits at the beginning introduce him as Arnold Strong, which I just think is awesome. Why didn't
Arnold
we stick with
Strong.
That name? That's a much better name.
Somebody wasn't getting paid by the letter.
I love it, dude.
That's the truth.
Arnold Strong. I wish that would have stuck.
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right, now we're going to talk a little bit about that kid that Randy mentioned. He's basically the short round character, the scrappy
Absolutely.
Little Asian kid who thinks he's tougher than he is and needs a little bit of a lesson to be learned. It's one of the little cliches in this movie. This is where he's introduced.
Hold it steady. Can you do nothing right? Still, you great idiot.
I'm trying, Your Highness.
Clumsy, old, stupid, dumb, useless, selfish beast.
Come to me.
Don't give me orders, slave, or I'll have you hung by the heels. Anyway, it's too slippery. Do you want me to fall in that boiling mud, you numbskull?
I'll try to swing it around. Now, hold still, boy.
Boy? Boy?
Boy?
I just want to kick that kid across the yard, man.
That. Boy?
So anyway, he's like, you're a bastard and you should hang up by your feet. So anyway, I was just thinking.
Yeah, that.
Anyway. I love that kid. He actually kind of grew
on
me a little bit.
I like the chemistry between that kid and his guardian.
His,
I think
his guardian,
it's
yeah.
a tender.
Now,
it's
isn't,
very,
isn't he
tender.
Supposedly, and Randy, you can confirm this, he is a relatively well-known and well-respected martial artist actor guy now.
Right, that's correct.
Yeah, and he was in The Rundown, one of my favorite movies of all time. I love The Rundown. And,
right. We're talking about Ernie Reyes Jr.
Yeah.
He has picked up a bunch of these small roles as a guy who is sort of standing on the outside of a circle of fighters and says, everybody get him! And they all run in.
That's the guy.
That's his job. I will promise you, if you could acquire every movie that Ernie Reyes Jr. has ever been in and count every line, they would not all sum the number of lines he had as a child in Red Sonja.
Oh, guaranteed. Guaranteed. He doesn't hardly... I mean, he is a chatterbox in this movie. But I love him in other stuff. He's great. He's a scrappy little dude. Yes, Brian?
In some research on doing this, I also saw that he was one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stunt doubles. And I was thinking, stunt double? So there's actors who are in the suits, those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle suits that are just... too good to do their own stunts.
I guess.
And they have to have stunt doubles.
I guess.
Yeah, that's how that actually works. You put your actors in those horrible suits and they act out the things. Then they go into the recording studio and they do their voiceovers.
Yeah.
And only they can do their own voiceovers because only they got the whole head bobbing, whatever, all of that.
Yeah.
If you counted on your stunt doubles to do the actual acting, it would be mayhem, man. It would be impossible. What are you talking about?
It would be fun to watch.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird stuff, man.
I mean, you just think, not everyone can be James Earl Jones and voice Darth Vader with another guy in the suit.
Yeah.
That's rough work right there.
A white dude.
All right, this kid makes a threat that made me giggle. I think it'll probably make me giggle again.
His Royal Highness, the Prince Tarn, Great Lord of Havelock, Keeper of the Spotless Throne, Great Elephant who fertilizes the world with his...
I've told you not to say that. Do it again. And I'll have you impaled.
I love that threat. Do it again.
I love that.
And
love
I'll
that
have
bit.
You impaled.
Did he say he was the Lord of Hemlock?
I don't know, dude. All I know.
The Lord of Hemlock? That's like a poisonous plant. What the hell?
I think sometimes they just say stuff and they just get away with it.
I couldn't keep up with anybody's name in this movie or places or anything else. All I knew is that they were taking the talisman to the darkest place on the planet, and the way it got its power was through light. And so I was like, how's this going to work out? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good point. So, Brian, if I was to cut you open, what part of you could I tell the future with?
Probably my entrails, most likely.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. Use. Actually, let's turn to the film for confirmation.
I will tell the future in your entrails, Red Woman!
I know my future! You have none.
I know my future. You have none.
I love that, actually.
But I need, actually, now you've said your entrails. Now the movie confirmed it, but I need one more confirmation.
I will tell you the future in your entrails, Red Woman.
Scott Fletcher says it, I believe it. Yeah.
I kept wondering also from the ghost in the beginning of the story, the way they portrayed it, that I don't know. I kept getting this impression that she would be able to beat every man that she came up against easily, but she always lost her sword at least once.
Yeah. Kept getting knocked right out of her hands
or broken or whatever. Yeah.
And the small Asian dude who was a teacher. Why is that?
You know what that's about, right?
What's that?
They only blocked and planned one sword fight. And all the different men had to learn it, but they only had one woman, you know, so she only had to learn the one fight, and it always involved her dropping and having to retrieve her sword.
Yeah.
Like,
if you watch those sword fights, every one of them, every move.
Oh, yeah. No. I think they had a very limited repertoire of...
I usually tuned out whenever they started fighting. Like, fight.
You're just like, oh, here's more action. Yeah. I don't want to see
it. I've got something better to do.
And I'm waiting for the superb acting to kick back in.
Yeah.
Sword fight starting. I got to go get the ivory soap out of the microwave. I'll be right back.
Now, as I mentioned, Short Round needs, as in all these movies, he needs to learn his lesson, right? He needs to be humbled.
Yeah.
And become the true king or the true royal anus that he's meant to be. And here's that moment in this film.
Kill me. Come on. Come on. You're meant to be using your sword. Remember, you see, fencing and fighting are two different things, and you need to learn them both.
Will you teach me to fence and to fight?
Will you teach me to read the card?
Now, how
that
come Arnold?
The most uncomfortable scene, by the way.
How come Arnold and Red Sonja are the only two people in Hyboria that have a German accent, and everybody else is British?
Oh, that's a really, really good point. I don't know.
It is.
Now, I just realized, by the way, I skipped an Arnold comment or an Arnold thing. I got to play that. This is when Arnold finally speaks. I don't know how I skipped past this, but that's stupid that I did. Let's hear what Arnold has to say for the very first time in the film.
I'm looking for Red Sonja.
I am Sonja.
Your sister's dying. I'll take it to her.
I remember that. I died laughing when he did that in the movie. I was just like, where's that song? Where is she? I'm here. Oh, your sister's dying.
Yeah, that was pretty good stuff. He has other things to say during the movie, but like I said, there's always this sort of this weird, leering, kind of strange, I don't know.
And the worst part is when they're all crawling through that tunnel when they actually get to the queen's castle. And, you know, Red Sonja goes first, of course, because she's got the little short skirt thing, the panties upper crack, and Arnold's falling right behind her, and I swear he never takes his eyes off her butt the whole time.
Oh, dude, no, totally. The governor, I mean, he may have matured now, and he's interested in California's future, but, dude, there was a day where that guy was fertilizing his own elephant trunk or whatever it was called. All right, so, Brian Ibbett, I'm going to play a clip here, and then I want you to decipher what you think Arnold's true intentions are. This is Arnold, who I believe is acting like a stalker.
Why have you been following me?
To see that you reach the talisman safely.
Why?
I have to be sure that the talisman is destroyed. Centuries ago, the High Lords of Arcania have entrusted the talisman to the priestesses, because only women may touch it. But to guard it, or to destroy it if need be, is still the duty of the High Lord.
You, the High Lord.
I was coming to the temple to see the talisman destroyed, when I found your sister dying, and learned that the talisman had been stolen. So she guided me to you.
But why didn't you tell me who you were?
You didn't seem to want a man's help, but you needed it. So that's why I followed you. I had to be sure that you reached the talisman.
I see.
The talisman.
Yeah, you need to practice saying the talisman. Yes, Randy.
I have to make sure you reach the talisman. So instead of just clubbing you over the head, putting you on the back of my horse, and taking you to the thing, I'm going to lurk until you get into danger. And then that's when I'm going to spring out and save you. Then I'm going to go back to lurking.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll just keep lurking. And, so he literally only did that like when things got real rough, like with the alligator fight in that cave.
Yeah.
Just showed up. Oh, there's Arnold in his red pajamas. Everybody look out. He's here to save the freaking day. So back to Bibbit here. I wanted to get to this point.
Yeah.
Not so much as a stalker, but on the whole, you've seen a lot of Schwarzenegger movies in your life.
I have.
And this leads into the next segment of the show. What did you think of his performance here? Was this top-notch Arnold material, or where is he better than this?
You know, I don't think you can find another movie in his portfolio, in his repertoire, that looks like he's having as much fun as he's having in this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm blown away by the fact that 24 years later, his English isn't any better. His accent is still just as thick, even though he's been living in California. But
he's tucking in his belly a little movie, more than he used to.
Which movie is he better? And if I'm being honest, then I'm probably going to say True Lies is another movie where he looks like he's having maybe a little bit more fun than this, but is generally a more fun Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
That's also a movie where, and I agree, the acting is so much better than that, but it's also a movie where you feel like he has made it to a point in his career where he just doesn't have to worry about anything. This is all just for fun. Yeah. He's in this space of somewhere between I'm awesome and I may run in politics one day. And he doesn't have to worry about anything. It's all good. And that movie's just fun top to bottom. I still say Tom Arnold is one of the greatest. That is one of the greatest roles in the history of the world, and I hate Tom Arnold, and I absolutely loved him in that movie. So I totally agree with you guys there, or with you there. Let's move around the table. Randy, your favorite Arnold movies, and how do you think it compares?
I got to disagree with Ibbot in that I feel like this is the last of his not fun films. Like up until this point, with the Conan films, with the Terminator and so forth, I feel like he was frustrated by his acting coach. He was still trying to figure out what you do in front of a camera and so forth. And then it's like this film gets behind him and there's this string of movies that I think are so much fun. Commando, Raw Deal, Predator, Red Heat, Twins, Total Recall. Every one of them so much fun to me. And it seems like he, he makes like 7 or 8 movies in a period of like 5 or 6 years. And every one of them so much better to me than what he had done before that point, including the Terminator. I don't think his acting in the first Terminator movie was anything to write home about.
Yeah, I don't think much about that movie is actually much to write home about. But Bibbit, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll agree with you about everything you said. I think what I'm trying to say is in this movie, he looks like he's having more fun than most of the movies that came after this. He's smiling and grinning in every scene.
I can see where Ibbit's coming from that because, according to Wikipedia, this was kind of like a favor he did. He did for the guy who had helped him with the Conan movie. So he wasn't the star of the movie. He was just supposed to be there. But even though he got top billing, which from Wikipedia also, he did not like that very much. The fact that they end up putting his name on top.
Well, plus this is the first of his Hollywood lady capturing. You know, like this is his first conquest of major hot chick in a movies. I may be making this up. Didn't him and her have like a big affair on the set? There was some talk of that, but I don't have any proof of this.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I may be spreading rumors. I don't know.
I just love the idea of the governator.
You're going to ruin their reputations.
Yeah,
I love the idea of the governator owing somebody something, so he has to make a whole movie like, I owed Richard Fleischer $50 and a bottle of vodka. You know,
a puddle or a bottle of vodka? I thought you said puddle.
A puddle of vodka.
What
I find funny is that I almost can guarantee you that when they pitched this movie, it was like, okay, this is the movie. This is the movie that we're going to get girls in here and watch and have a hero like, you know, like She-Ra was for He-Man. Of course, I don't know if that was around here, I could just see him trying to pitch it like that and say, let's get these girls in here and watch it. Let's have a girl heroine. But every turn, she had to have Arnold save her. Every single time she got in trouble.
And she had the ultimate, wasn't the message of the whole movie, at least it felt to me, was, yeah, you're tough and yeah, you're awesome and yeah, you overcame all these things, but in the end, you got to have a dude help you.
You gotta have a dude like Arnold help me out,
and that sucked. Yeah. I thought. I like the female empowerment story. I think that gives the narrative some strength. You know, despite all the cheese and everything, it actually gives it some strength. Because up to that point, I can't think of too many action sword movies that involved female heroines. I can't think of any.
No.
So in that way, it kind of broke a little bit of ground, or at least I would argue that because
it was trying to.
Yeah,
it was definitely trying. Because
honestly, even back in like some people say, Princess Leia was the first truly, tough chick, whatever. No, she wasn't. 90% of the time she was in a bikini chained to a freaking slug. And before that, she had hair buns and was going and changing her accent over and over while she was worried about her planet getting blown up. She wasn't that tough. She's just a stupid sister to what's his name. And the guys always take the cake. So I'm just saying, of movies in the 80s that really said, here's a movie about female empowerment. I'd say this movie's right up there. What else is there?
I would, too. But what ended up happening was it just ended up bringing a whole bunch of teenage boys there who wanted to see a girl in a skirt and swing a sword around.
That's the truth.
But that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, we're not going to lie about that. All right, speaking of other lessons that we learned. Oh, first, Brian, what's your favorite Schwarzenegger movie? We didn't ask
you. I would have to say, well, I'm going to almost have to say all of them because I love almost everything he's in. And it's a guilty pleasure. But I will tell you, one of my favorite ones is Erasure. Mm-hmm. Not mentioned very often, but I think it is. I don't know. There's something about it.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the Erasure band?
Yeah, Erasure band. That's right. Eraser.
Oh, Eraser. All right. I'm just making sure I heard you right. What's that song? Give me a song, Brian. Come on. What's a good song?
Chains of Love.
Break these chains of love. Don't give up. Yeah, good times.
I never said what my favorite Schwarzenegger song
was. Oh, that's right.
Was.
You didn't. You just contradicted Ibbitt.
Oh, you sure did you?
Pure and simple, raw deal, man. You should not drink and bake.
Or he played a Russian, yep.
Raw deal is nothing but one-liners for him.
Yeah.
Which is what he does best.
How epic would it have been had the Dolph Lundgren role in Rocky V had gone to Arnold? That would have been great.
Wow.
That would have been formidable, dude. But then that big, tall dork wouldn't have had a job. Actually, I'm not totally sure that Dolph Lundgren and Brigitte Nielsen aren't the same person anyway. Could be wrong.
They're both in Rocky IV, so they're, you know, there's
yeah, that's right.
But were they in any scenes together?
Oh, Clark Kent. I'm telling you. All right. Other lessons we learned. Women should be as tough as men until you need Arnie to show up out of nowhere and fix things. And, of course, another lesson might be teaching kids to be less prideful helps when you're not or when you're a hot Scandinavian chick.
Yeah.
Yeah, we learned that as a good lesson there. A couple of last questions I have before we move into some other issues. Some of the cliches that sort of came up for me were things like, for example, the fat fumbling guy who was like the helper dude to the kid. Provided comic relief, but it seems like in movies, those guys always end up being funny, fat, and lame until it's go time, and now they're the bravest when push comes to shove. And I couldn't think of any other examples, but in the end, I think he was my favorite character.
I think he was mine, too.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? He was one of the better actors.
Yeah, who would you guys pick as the standout?
That's a film sack rule. I will always say my favorite character is a guy who carries around bones.
Yeah, giant bone sword.
Yeah, bone.
That's a film sack rule.
Those bones were not messing around, dude.
It's a nice sharp print on one end.
Yeah. I don't know what they went to, like a mammoth or something.
Exactly. I think it came from that bridge. That
maybe.
Fell.
I don't know. But that guy, I thought that was kind of cool. Also, let's see. Having ridiculous wardrobe and headdresses make the movie more epic.
Yeah.
That's a general rule I think Hollywood still follows today. Another cliche, bad guys typically like to let everything get really bad so that in the end it's themselves that cause their undoing.
Yeah.
So this chick, and again, this just poke at this one last story point. The queen, the evil queen, lives in this like lair, cave, castle thing. Mm-hmm. And her job, I'm not exactly sure what it is. She wants to keep the orb because that maybe gives her power. Excuse me, the talisman. She keeps the talisman to give her power. And
I'm going to say talisman one more time.
Talisman.
And then she's got her weird witch doctor guy, and she's got all this stuff going on. And ultimately, I don't know why she wants to rule the universe with Red Sonja, and that all comes out in the final fight.
Yeah.
I don't get why. Like, what was the – why did she want to do that? Then it came back to, well, maybe she's a dude and she likes him, or he likes her. I mean, am I wrong about that? It just seemed like her motives were weird. I don't really know what her motives are at the end. I don't know what she wanted.
Yeah. We never – I couldn't get that either. There's been some controversy over the whole how they played out lesbianism in this movie apparently. So.
Whoa, I need to rewatch it. There were lesbians?
Yeah, the queen. She's supposed to be, I guess, a lesbian. So you say that – I don't remember a part where they said that she was a man. I don't remember that from the movie.
I swear there was a part where somebody said, oh, she's a man or something, and then everybody freaked out and stared at each other. And then
you're thinking of The Crying Game.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
sorry about that film, Boys Don't Cry. It was a really good one.
Yeah, by the way, spoiler alert, the guy that plays Ra in Stargate has a wiener. That's what that spoiler is, because he was in that movie. All right, well, let's move on to our thoughts, just kind of sum them up about how you felt about this movie before I get on to the little details that people may have missed. So let's start with Bibbit this time because we never start with him.
Oh, cool.
I feel bad making you third every time. I got
to
quit doing that.
Oh, no, that's all right. You know, I'll take it.
Gives you more time to really knock it out of the park.
Exactly. Oh, I forgot.
So your summing up of Red Sonja, worth seeing, worth not seeing, what did you come away with?
Well, you know, we touched on this in the last episode of Film Sec, but I think any of the movies that we talk about are worth seeing as long as you're listening to Film Sec. You know, you've got to go see the movie or, you know, pick it up Netflix streaming, then listen to us. And if you're doing that, then this is worth seeing. If you're watching it for pure entertainment value, no, I'd say you might want to stay away from that.
All right. Yeah. This one's a skipper. Brian Dunaway, your thoughts, your final thoughts on this film.
Final thoughts on this film. The acting was atrocious. Could be partly due to the director. But I will say that the set designs and the costuming I thought was actually very well done. And I think they did very good with the special effects. I mean, most of it wasn't too goofy looking. There was no blue screening.
Some pretty good miniatures and stuff, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Really good miniatures. The bridge that... that was to the queen lady's place. I thought it looked fabulous. You couldn't tell if it was a matte painting
or if it was bridge.
Yeah, the skeleton. You couldn't tell what it was. You couldn't tell if it was a miniature or if it was a matte painting or what. So
I think it was just wood. I think it might have been. Yeah, there were a ton of these beautiful outdoor sets that were just looked like some carpenters got together and went nuts.
Yeah. I wish those same carpenters would have went nuts with the Bruce Campbell movie we're doing next week. But anyway.
All right. And the last thing I want to say about that is also since a lot of these actresses and actors were also stunt people, the Queen is a stunt person, and Arnold was known to do his own stunts back then. And so lots of scenes when they were fighting, a lot of the objects that they were throwing and pulling had real weight to them. They weren't just styrofoam crap.
Yeah, so, you could kick the feces out of Arnold back in the day, and he wouldn't get hurt. I mean, I love that he did his own stunts and stuff like this. And when they were on horses, it was fairly, you know, authentic looking. Yeah. It didn't look like there were trainers standing off camera, all nervous that Brigitte was going to get chucked into the weeds or anything. Yeah. It all seemed very, you know, I think she could have probably worn more clothes during fights because that's not good armor to have your, you know.
It's not. No. It's not. Because the guy with the chemistry cell will cut you up.
So what's the final word from Randy? Randy, your thoughts on this movie?
I really, really enjoyed the Ennio Morricone score. There were times when there was nothing else going on in the film and I got to close my eyes and just listen to the trumpets and the strings, and I thought that there's very underrated. In fact, I wish I could get my hands on a CD of this score and soundtrack because it would be a prize in my collection. Mm. Wow. And that's everything else stinks.
Yeah, that's
nothing else
how it
is good.
Yeah.
Music is good. Everything else blows. All right. Well, I am going to now tell you rapid fire style what I thought you may have missed last time you saw this movie, and here it is. Flaming house, perfect way to start. Hold your hands out and your logo will appear. Did you notice when she did that? She put her hands out and big logo appeared. A great place for credits are when Arnold rides a horse for 10 minutes. That happened at the beginning. Conan has a thing for red pajamas, and of course it's not actually Conan, it's his brother, Jonan. More leftover Sleestak cave sets. I noticed a few of those. Lots of people look like the Pope. Ninja Star Assassination is awesome. The world was created by a green glowing ball. The evil queen looks like a conflicted Bajoran chick on Next Generation. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but she looks a lot like her. Don't touch the ball. I just can't reiterate that enough. Gender-specific balls of power. This was a movie made by dudes for dudes. Production tip, reuse your screen sounds, or your scream sounds, rather. Those chicks that fell down the hole is like the same scream sound three times in a row.
It was over.
Yeah.
It was almost like the Wilhelm, but worse. Let's see. Taking an arrow while you're sliding down a rope and not letting go makes you awesome. Arnold doesn't say anything for a long time. The headgear in this movie is ridiculous. Scott Fletcher says this must be during Arnold's philandering days. The whole sexual harassment vibe he got from him was palpable, he says. Why does Red Sonja sound like Deanna Troi from Star Trek? Good point. Old wise teacher always with a lesson, and he says this, quote, a good swordsman needs a good sword. Damn, that's good advice. 19 minutes until Arnold says anything. Bridget Nilsson used to be hot. Britag gets paid with tender loving of the ladies. It seems people wear their arteries on the outside of their bodies because they explode on sword impact. Giant puppet spiders purr like cats. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I heard that. That was weird.
Stupid.
And they swivel. They swivel in place.
They do. They don't seem to move anywhere. They just swivel.
That was not a Jim Henson product.
No. hard to work the potions with huge black fingernails. Something I noticed.
Oh yeah, that was weird. The
prince's helper dude had a huge bone in his belt. We talked about that. The queen gets the attention of her henchmen using the clapper. Removing the pearl from the serpent's mouth means more water and a metal alligator. Next time you're in that situation, just beware. Arnold makes a surprise appearance again at the 54-minute mark. It takes a long time to beat a metal alligator. Most awkward kiss ever.
It really did.
It took forever.
I thought that scene was going to go on forever. But it was beautifully shot.
It's like, you know what? It cost us a lot of money to make this thing roll around in the water like this. Let's just keep filming it.
It did.
Queen waits till things get too late to start using her teleportation powers. That was way too late in the game for that.
Yeah.
We'll just let that bandage fall off Arnold as if it didn't do anything and do a retake.
Yeah.
You guys remember that? I'm not the only one that saw that, right?
You got to put pressure on it.
They had a handkerchief folded up between like some piece of his armor and his skin.
Yeah.
Maybe there was they had nailed something together and then, you know, they didn't have time to shave off the tip of the nail.
And he got up and it just goes blurp and falls off. So stupid. Then what else? Oh, bone weapons are kind of awesome. Death by rolling huge door is a terrible way to go. And finally, Ming the Merciless is the Queen's voodoo doctor.
Yes, he is.
And that is what you missed.
That was some Fu Manchu, some serious Fu Manchu. That chemistry set with the fluorescent liquids.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was great. And his porn channel was great.
A little trivia for you. The guy who gets killed by the big rolling door, the guy who has the sword fight with the little kid.
Yeah.
That is your favorite face-melting German from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's why I look so familiar.
Yes. Yep. Tina said, oh, is that Wallace Shawn? I'm like, no. Who the heck is that? And I had to look it up. That's Tot.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Nunchuck coat hanger from Raiders.
And it all comes back to Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it always does.
Short
dude.
Round kills him. Yeah.
All right. Well, Scott Fletcher sounds off once again to sort of sum up this film in the best way he knows how, and that is this:
no man may have me unless he's beaten me in a fair fight.
There you go. That is so true. I can't say enough about that. That is absolutely true. All right. That is going to be about it for the show. We really enjoy this. By the way, our next movie next week is going to be a movie that we like to lovingly call Alien Apocalypse, starring everybody's favorite Bruce Campbell, who really is awesome, and we love Bruce Campbell. So we thought, hey, a Bruce Campbell movie. Let's check this out. Boy, do we have things to say about that. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be great fun. As always, if you want to follow what we're doing, check out the website. That's at filmsack.com. Follow us on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/filmsack. And send us your email suggestions for movies, comments on the show, and whatever else you like at filmsack@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll see you on episode 5. Until then, everyone have a wonderful week. Now you guys can
say bye now.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
And then Randy.
Protect me.
Thank you very much indeed for answering my last email. I adore you and your beautiness. And I would very much appreciate if I would have the chance to get some nice photos of you and your exciting body. You are the synonym for a real beautiful woman. I hope to meet you once if you pass by to Austria or Germany, and maybe also to get to know you personally.
Sick.
She got my letter.
Austria, just swap in South Carolina.
That's right. I hope I didn't Fletcher that up too much because I wasn't trying to do the same Scott Fletcher voice. But
Fletcher, you're out of a job. Get out of town.
You've just verbed the voice, man. That's awesome.
But in Fletcher. Yeah.
You know what? You know what my problem with Nip Tuck is? Let me tell you what my problem is.
There's only one.
It's not a long. Not a long thing. Here's my one problem with Nip Tuck. I can't hear the title without thinking of my grandma tucking her boobs in her pants.
Oh, nice.
I'm serious. I mean, you can't tell from movies. For all I know, behind the scenes, she was like smacking midgets and peeing on the wall. I don't know.